If you'd like to get special releases and special bonuses I occasionally offer, head over to ChristopherScottShow.com and sign up for my email list.
Well, that wasn't the intro that I wanted this morning. Oh, boy. Well, we're doing a live podcast here, obviously, and yeah, that didn't go right. Supposed to get the normal intro, and I had a whole different opening bit. Well, you know, that's the trouble with going live. You never know how things are going to go. So, yeah, sign up for my email list. This is the Christopher Scott Show. I'm Chris, and we're doing a little bonus live podcast. I thought it'd be a nice day to change things up a little bit. I want to talk about Joe Biden's accomplishments. But don't you think that'll be fun? I think it'll be – I want to stay positive. I want to help the cause. I want to help the country. And I think, to be fair, we should acknowledge the things that Joe has accomplished in his short time in office so far, especially given that we have so much time left. I didn't expect to be here today. I actually didn't get up until after the sun came up this morning, which is a really rare occurrence for me. And that's because I was doing physical labor until about 9 o'clock last night. I had this firewood delivered. I think it's like the never-ending pile of firewood, it seems like. Just keeps going and going and going. I can't seem to get it all stacked. So I was a little beat up from doing that, but it feels good. You know, it was good for me to be doing that. Actually, it was really good for me. I can't tell. I haven't been spending enough time outside and getting it. And today I'm going to spend most of the day out there and hopefully most of the weekend. I think we're looking for a little bit of rain, but I got so much yard work to catch up on. And I think part of my hydration level lately has been with the fact that I've been behind on my homestead here because of the concussion. And I don't like that. It gives me an uneasy feeling. But anyway, we're going to stick with the positive today, Joe Biden's accomplishments. And I made a little list here, which you can also see at the show notes, which I think you'd be happy you checked it out today, the show notes at ChristopherScottShow.com. And, you know, perhaps you can sign up for my email list when you're there. But you can see this list. So let's start with the airlines. You know, after all of the billions of dollars of taxpayer money that was pushed into the airline system to keep them afloat during the pandemic, and look at what's happening now. You can't get on a plane. And why is that exactly? Why can't you get a clear answer? Well, it's weather. Okay. Well, where's the storm? Well, it's the pilots are overworked. Why would that be? Well, maybe the real reason is because the pilots are walking off the job. In other words, a fabricated problem. Pure genius, really. Joe Biden, let's give it to him. Hold on a second. Let me go out to our virtual audience here. Can we get an applause from the virtual audience? Here we go. There we go. Yes, give it up big to Joe Biden for destroying the airline industry. A purposeful destruction of an industry. It's fantastic. After we just put Bill Trump, you know, and I think Democrats went along with it. They give the industry billions of dollars. But then Joe says, no. That doesn't fit with the new Green Deal. And so we're going to destroy it with vaccine mandates. And I know that there's people listening right now saying, well, how are you putting the two of those together? Well, let me continue on. I don't want to leave out anything that Joe's accomplished, all right? Healthcare failing. I've seen it here myself. I've got just about, I mean, I've got, my healthcare is almost as good as Congress. I mean, that's how good it is. I mean, nobody has as good as Congress. They're going to see a doctor, whether you do or not, I don't know. They don't really care. They're going to see a doctor. So that's like the gold standard is the Congress healthcare. But then there's the rest of us, right? And we're pretty fortunate that we've got pretty good health insurance. And, you know, we can go to any doctor pretty much, and the costs are, you know, out-of-pocket costs are very low. The policy itself is pretty doggone expensive. In fact, it's very expensive. As a matter of fact, you know, per capita of our household, it's without a doubt our biggest expense. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Healthcare, our biggest expense. And guess what? I couldn't see a doctor for like 2 weeks from a head injury with still some symptoms lingering, right? How much did the lack of treatment contribute to that? What, can I sue? Who do I sue? Who do I go after? The insurance company? No, well, they want to ration health care based on race and, you know, the inequity. What inequities? You can't get into the doctor. So, Jay, Joe, there's another one. So here we go. We got two, the airline industry, the healthcare industry. Tell me why it's failing. We spend more money than any other country on healthcare. Oh, there's a nursing shortage. Really, why would that be? Here's the funny thing about this crap system that we have. I don't understand how it's legal. So I really can't complain. The biggest out-of-pocket expense I had with the concussion was the ambulance ride, I think like $800. I don't think I spent $200 in copays beyond that. Two emergency room visits, couple doctor visits, therapy, the whole thing. I don't think I spent $200. But here's the weird thing. I was like, I'm going to pay when I'm there. Like, well, can we keep your card on file? No. It's unreal. You go to the doctor, like, I need your credit card before I can see you. That's not racist. I mean, we minorities don't have ID. They sure as hell don't have credit cards. How racist is that? So, you know, they want you to pay. I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to like this doctor. I got to pay in advance. Anyway, you got to do it, right? You're sitting there. I got blood coming out of my head. Well, I'm going to sit and argue with them? No, you're not going to do it at all. Anyway, I go through the whole thing. I pay as I go because that's how I pretty much do everything in my life. So then like 2 months later, I get a bill for like $12.13. Look, I barely ever write checks anymore. And I'm just instantly annoyed that I got to stop doing what I'm doing over $12. So then like 3 weeks later, I get a $50 refund. And you say, what are you complaining about? I'm not. Until a couple weeks later, and I get another bill for like $14. So, I pay this stupid thing. But yeah, how am I supposed to look at this and have 1 ounce of faith that any of this billing has been done accurately? And it's not like I was, went through some, you know, complicated surgery with multiple doctors and multiple hospitals. No. Unreal. So healthcare failing, airlines failing, you can't get a flight, you can't get a doctor. Energy, where are we at with energy? I couldn't believe the gas prices. I'm not really affected by gas prices because we don't really drive. We don't go anywhere. That's the one thing we're pretty well sheltered from. You can't fly. I see the license plates. Well, that's going to end. That's right. Where's all this headed? Where's all this headed? Education. I just saw first time ever since they've been keeping track. Scores down. That's a common theme. And, you know, where we're at, we pay through the roof for school taxes, and the test scores are falling. Well, gee, I don't know, when the kids weren't in school for an entire year, I seem to remember this guy. He's got a big mouth, and I remember he was very upset about this. Anybody remember the video and the whole thing that I went through then, how upset I was? Well, this was why. Yeah, but nobody cares that, you know, that I made a correct prediction. Your education system failing, energy failing, blackouts, grid can't keep up. They're talking about, you know, possible shortages, prices doubling overnight. How does that affect somebody making, you know, a whopping $25 an hour that's got to drive 20, 30 minutes to work each way? Education, energy, healthcare, the airlines, the military. Does anybody remember what happened in Afghanistan? Isn't it amazing how it just gets washed under the carpet so quickly? How would that have been handled if it was Trump? Oh, we'd be hearing about it every day. Impeach 46. Where's the calls for impeachment for 46? Food failing. Jen went to grab some food. There's a little local place here we like Friday night. No, what am I talking about? Today's Friday. How could it be? I'm losing my mind. I've officially lost my mind. Maybe we will get sandwich. I think it was Wednesday night. Wednesday was my Friday here. I'm on a little different schedule this week. Anyway, you know, I don't want to get a sandwich. I don't eat a lot. Like, I've been overeating a little bit. I got to get back on. I've been working a lot, so I'm eating a lot. I said, how about some wings? She says, prices. She says, $40 for 20 wings. $40 for 20 wings. I'm like, well, I'll just go down the market and get a steak then. Airlines, can't get a flight. Can't get into the doctor. Energy costs through the roof. Education in the tank. The military, can't even get out of a war properly, let alone get into one properly. You can't get wings. Does anybody see the magnitude of that problem? Oh, and then there's the media. I can't do it. So Joe's winning, big accomplishments. I mean, with this, I want you to just think a second, just how great did the next 3 years are going to look like, really. Really phenomenal, I think, when you think about it. So what else do we have to talk about? You know, why isn't anybody – I got a bunch of emails here I want to get into. So stay tuned. I think you're going to like where we're headed with this. Why isn't anybody talking about the legality of some of this nonsense? What am I talking about? Well, for example, this global tax that's being negotiated. Where is that in our Constitution? I'm also talking about this law in California banning small gas engines. Why isn't anybody even talking about it? Well, because you can't get in front of the Supreme Court. I mean, hell, if you can't, you know, get an illegal election situation looked at, what the hell makes you think they're going to give a hoot about small gas engines, for God's sake? I mean, the Supreme Court's practically running the country. Right? Everything's got to go to the Supreme Court. Elections, judicial nominees, small gas engines, health care, schools, vaccines, science. The science is now established by the Supreme Court. I don't know. Where is all this stuff in our Constitution? That's what I want to know. Does anybody remember the Constitution? Let me tell you what the Constitution was, for those of you that don't know. It was this document that the original framers of our government, it was this document that they created establishing a set of rules, not for us, but for government. They said, these are the rules that a good government should operate by. They called it the Constitution. It was a strange idea at the time. Nobody remembers this anymore. It was the First Amendment, right? They wrote in there. They said the government can't restrict your speech or your ability to get together in groups such as church. It's right in there. I think you can still find it. It's called the Constitution of the United States. There's a Second Amendment. You don't want to talk about this one too much, certainly not in public. But they felt that people should have the right to own guns, a God-given right to own guns, that the government could not make any law in respect to that. That's what they put in there. That's how we lived for a while. Not anymore. Anyway, you may check it out sometime. But I think if you go through that Constitution, you're not going to find anything about a global tax. Mm-mm. No, sir. I don't think you're going to find anything about the government restricting small gas engines either. And I don't think you're going to find anything in there about government being able to force you to take a vaccine. And I want to tell you this very seriously. And then I want to get into these emails a little bit, because we've had a very interesting exchange this year, very meaningful for me personally, I got to tell you. And, you know, the exchange that I had with our brother Chris in Oregon, it means a lot to me. It really does. It really got me thinking. My job is to make you think. Sometimes you guys get me thinking. It's profound for me. And this is one of those times. But they're changing our relationship with our government and doing it without our consent. That you're going to engage us in a new global tax, that we can't possibly have a voice in that. You think that somebody down in Arkansas is going to have a vote in that matter? And let me tell you something. Our silence is now a vote of affirmation. You realize that? I remember this, too. Another one of those meaningful times in the podcast where my father actually chimed in. And I talked about speaking up, and he said, well, the rule is don't argue with fools. And my father strikes again with the basic wisdom. But the problem that we have today is, I'm not saying argue with fools. What I'm saying is that our silence is consent. And somebody said it to me in a different way. I was out to lunch with a friend on yesterday, Thursday. And he said, you know, the more people acquiesce, the more government thinks that that's what people want, that becoming emboldened to continue the pattern. And it's really very true. Before I get into these emails here, I want to mention something that I believe I might have mentioned the other day. This was sent to us by Dan. He said the three-legged stool of corruption is education, media, and political leaders. If one of them became honest, corruption would fall. As for now, all three are solidly planted. Here's one of the things that has me thrown off, Dan, and everyone listening, really. Even in the face of the truth, meaning, you know, if we could get a – so when I look at that, education, media, political, I say, okay, private schools, right, that's working and creating a whole different breed of people, really, when you think about it. I mean that from a philosophical perspective. Then the media, you could create your own independent media outlet. But on that end, I don't think that there's so many people that even when faced with the facts, right, they deny it. My wife said this to me the other day. She said she feels like people are in a weird fog. Maybe it was from the last election. I think there's a disbelief. I said this during Obama. I remember this many times. I think the guy was a hypnotist. He put the whole country in a trance. Anyway, I understand the mechanics of this, but we're in a weird spot with this too. This isn't just we fix this, you know, if we get some new political leaders in office. We fix this if we can just get an independent media that'll tell the truth. I don't think so. I don't think it's that simple. Maybe in normal times, normal level of corruption. So this is from Jason C. I've got back-to-back Jasons here. So he says, good morning, Chris. Listen to yesterday's show and then again this morning. Just wanted to let you know it's still being pushed out to my phone on iTunes. I did hear from others that the show was coming through, so let's hope that continues. But there was a period where it was not coming through. Jason says, I'm glad you took a few days off, and I do not believe that the show suffered at all. I don't think it did either, shockingly. He said, I wanted to write in yesterday. I was super busy at work, and by the time I got home, sadly, it slipped my mind. Well, I find that hard to believe. I would think this podcast would be on the forefront of everybody's mind at all times. He says, I know you mentioned the China app yesterday when speaking of social media. He says, I was able to go 9 months off social media, and I came back after hearing about the passing of a good friend of mine, a child, through a third party. It was sad, and I went back. Well, I can certainly understand that. For me, social media, one of the things that I gave up, which was hard for me, was the connection to the guys in my Marine Corps unit, which we did through Facebook. However, I will say this, those relationships became a little strained by racism in the media as well, and some of the arguments that ensued and some of the things that were posted on people's private pages. I don't know. I thought about it recently, too, because politically speaking, there's some benefit. I'm not doing it right now. Jason says, I don't actively contribute. Instead of putting pictures of my children, I switch back to circa 2003 when group email chains were the thing. I have email chains that when I want to share pictures of my family, I just email. So let me comment on that a second. I use an app called Notion to run my life. And it's a beautiful app. It's a digital notebook. In the past, you heard me talk about an app called OneNote, Microsoft OneNote. But like a lot of things, Microsoft is falling very far behind. And Notion it provides a ton of power. And just to tell you how much I like it, you've heard me talk about the software project I'm working on. We're developing databases. And I like the Notion app for my personal. I run the whole podcast off it. What you see when you go to the show notes at ChristopherScottShow.com is a page out of my notebook. I just post the URL on there back to my notebook, and I can share things like that. Well, we have a page in my notebook for my daughter that we just put photos. I just put different categories in there, and we can text and email that link. And it's just a digital photo album. Here's the other thing. I had been predicting – starting 3-4 years ago, amazing, I've been doing the podcast that long. I've got some history now. I've been saying that I think Facebook is going to be dead. I think I could build my own social media platform right now. Wouldn't that be interesting? I just don't think there's a need for it. And I'm not saying that what I could build would be very, sophisticated. You know, I don't know how you do all the tracking of everybody's eyeball movement and sexual preference. Well, actually, you could. What else? I will say that the TikTok, the China app, is by far, in my opinion, the most conservative friendly. Well, it's like the Wild Wild West. We'll get you sucked in. Don't worry, that'll end. The abundance of jobs and continual lack of people has me stumped. My company is currently offering a $2,000 bonus for new hires and referrals. I've never seen it higher than 500. It's deplorable. Where are the workers? Why won't people work? I can't figure it out. I can't either. He says there's lots of rumors floating up that the Southwest gridlock this weekend is in part due to the pilots fighting back against the mandate. I applaud their effort. And so why isn't that coming out publicly and broadly? Imagine they're fighting the fight, risking their careers, risking their jobs. And the media, the corrupt media, doesn't even report it. Good Americans standing up. It's their right to speak up. You remember that thing I mentioned earlier? It was called the Constitution. They had rules in there. The government couldn't do this crap. Jason says, I think the rest of us need to come together and pick a date and call into work. Amen. I love my company. I hate to see them suffer, but we need to show the silent majority will do if this mandate hits. It's a great idea. How about a week? Shut it down for a week. Let's lead the effort on picking a day and all of us calling in saying we won't get tested and we won't get the shot. It's time to stand up and fight back. I've got some ideas on that. We'll save it for another day. We're losing our country. I sadly believe that I sadly have sat on the sideline. I've just been a complaining type of person most of my adult life. I see now that I have children and this was a terrible idea. Or was it because it wasn't until this vast overreach by our government that I got angry enough to start speaking up? Wow. Well, it's good to hear from you, Jason. Let me continue on. This is from Jason W. He says, just dropping a note to say I have been listening. As to the party questions you have asked, my only comment is there's still too many party faithful. He's talking about my assertion that it needs to be an independent group. He says, as to the party question, yes, my only comment is there's still too many party faithful that will not consider an independent for anything. He says, almost nobody does their homework by pulling a sample ballot and finding basic information on candidates before Election Day. What's the point? Like you said, if you're a Democrat, you're voting for the Democrat. You trusting that the parties flush this out for you, right? So, and listen, and back to that pesky Constitution a second. And it's talked about in common sense. And look, we surrender a bit of our freedom when we elect an official to vote on our behalf. If you had a genuinely pure democracy, then everybody would vote on everything by referendum vote all the time. And quite frankly, that idea has some merit as well because of technology available now. That's a whole different conversation. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the problems that would be created by that? But what's happened now? So you give up, you surrender, you say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and go along with the vote. So I don't have to go to every meeting. I don't have to read them. We're going to have this guy. He's going to be our representative. We're going to trust him to do it. That's a big thing to trust somebody with. But now it's even worse because now you don't even have a vote in picking that guy. It's done by the party. He says, I also know people like... I think people like to put time into something that may fail as much as run for office. And that's another problem. Look, you know, running for office, I have the same dilemma. Like, there's nothing in it for me, at least not in the context that I want to run for office. I'm guaranteed to invest a ton of time, probably a bunch of my money, with no guarantees it will be a successful run. And if it is successful, I'm guaranteed to make like nothing to do it because I'm honest. He says, I do agree with your points last year that people need to get more involved. I just wonder if the desire and motivation are there for a government of the people. But it isn't possible unless it's by the people. Amen. I hope you're taking some time off enjoying life. I got some painting to do later. I have to paint a door jamb, a new door we put in. I have to caulk it and paint it. You can't get anybody out to do this stuff anymore. I like doing it anyway. I was stacking firewood last night, cutting up the brush pile I have from the storm, all the branches that came down, had them all piled up, just cutting that up, processing it down, getting some of the stuff that was burning. Where are we at time-wise here? I hope everything's coming. One thing with the live podcast, I have no idea what you're hearing. What is this? Do we have somebody on the line here? Which is very strange. Looks like we have a caller on here, but I don't know how to get that through necessarily. Can I?
Hello? Can you hear me? I can't hear you anymore. Should I call back in? Hello?
Well, hello. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. Tell us your name and where you're from.
I'm Josh, and I'm from East Central Illinois.
East Central Illinois. Have you emailed me before, Josh?
No, sir.
Okay. Great. Well, what do you want to talk about today, Josh? I appreciate you calling in. This is very exciting for me. I did this impromptu live, and it's good to hear from you. What did you want to say today?
Well, I think you said a lot of things that I'm actually kind of in tune to. A lot of the nonsense being played by a bunch of politicians running around being ridiculous, and how the individual man actually has a little bit more power than he understands on an individual level. And I kind of want to talk about that if you would like to have a conversation there.
I would very much. Actually, it's an important point, and I think it's something that gets glossed over. People are trying to decide whether they want to get involved at all. But, go ahead. Tell us what you had to say about it.
Well, because a lot of the stuff that people don't really comprehend when it comes to politics is that I'm going to tell you something that a Navy SEAL said to me. If you place the left wing and the right wing, and it's a part of the same bird, if you place that over your head, don't complain when it craps on you.
Gotcha. Makes sense, right? That's how I feel.
Yes,
very much so.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, no, I just I think if people would actually engage in their local politics, I don't even know, knock on your neighbor's door, get to know your neighbor, have a community, things in America would probably be a lot better. But a lot of the stuff that we're seeing is the result of city people running the show, and city people can't tell you what floor they live on, let alone the person living next door in the building next to them. But yeah, it's all rural people. I mean, that's how you actually have to gauge the stance of America these days, is not the people in the cities, but the people out in the sticks, the people out there in the smaller cities, the people who know their neighbors. Because the cities, I don't want to completely write them off, but they have been doing things in recent years that I think is kind of detrimental to the entire point of the country. Because this is a social experiment, right? That's all America was ever supposed to be, was an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're completely ruining it. I'm not saying every single individual in the city, but the cities are ruining it because they got very I don't want to say they're collectivized to a point. They became a part of a collective that doesn't make sense anywhere else in the world. Does that make sense to you?
It makes a lot of sense. You know, I think part of the problem is, and that quote from that Navy SEAL makes a lot of sense, couldn't it? That's why I won't jump into a party affiliation. That's why I won't go back on social media. And I think that, you know, in terms of what you're saying now, in terms of, you know, people living in the cities, people not knowing their neighbors, and I think a lot of that has to do with the shift in lifestyles that have occurred, right? When I was growing up as a kid in the 70s, we were working on the property. And there was times, I lived a portion of my life in a place called West Conshohocken, which is right outside the city of Philadelphia. That's no rural area. It's very urban. But even there, you know, we had a garden. We were outside more than not. There was no social media. There was no cable TV. You know, if you wanted to do something on a Friday, if you wanted to socialize, you couldn't do that on a screen. We literally had dances down at the firehouse. And you got to know people, and people had reputations. And I talk about this a lot with this modern society, how we've gotten away from what is really a natural way of living for human beings, so far away from it that I think it's creating some goofy results. I think one of the challenges, you talk about ruining things, I think the other risk that it's being taken right now is ruining our ability to continue using technology. And so either what I'm trying to say with that, either we get a handle on controlling the technology or it's going to continue to control us. And some of that has
Absolutely.
To do with personal habits. Some of it has to do with government, too, right? Infringement on rights. Go ahead.
Look, I'm sorry. Can I intervene on that? Because when it comes to technology, especially social media and the way that we now have the ability to pull out a cell phone, when I was a kid, we didn't have this. When I was a kid, you know, a lot of kids say, you know, the street lights turn on, that's when you know to be home. I didn't even have that. I showed up when I showed up, and sometimes I was escorted home by the police for breaking curfew.
Same. Me too.
That's the game that we played when we were kids, and we never had cell phone. If we were gone for 10 hours, our parents wouldn't think twice. They'd be like, he must be having a good time somewhere. They never thought we were being kidnapped.
I think I was in sixth grade, so what would that be, 12 years old. I remember riding my bike. We lived in a place
buddy,
called
Bertrand. If you were in sixth grade at 12 years old, no, you're talking about 10, 9 or 10.
I rode my bike. I remember I went like 30 miles away, and that was actually the point where my father said, I didn't even tell my parents where I was going, and I came back, and my father was like, you know, I think if you're going to go that far, you ought to at least let us know where you're going.
I did something similar at 12, and we rode out to the outskirts of town. We were like a good 10 miles out. My buddy ran over a skunk's tail on a bicycle, and we both got sprayed. I came back, and my mom's like, you're sleeping out on the porch tonight. I'm going to get you some tomato juice tomorrow. I was like, oh, my, she's going to the 60s. She's going to the 60s for this ramification.
It's very true.
Sorry, buddy.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that a lot of the issues that, especially in modernity, I mean, obviously, we went through an entire different – we had a chasm – what's the nicest way to say this without using a curse word? A cataclysmic change when it came to a pandemic. Now, we already had this with the Spanish lady flu. We already had this in the early 1900s. We already did this before. And now we have the flu. It's a natural thing that happens every year. We understand when it thrives. We understand when it doesn't. And then COVID came about, and the world lost their freaking minds.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
And
it's been a big shift.
I'm just struggling.
It continues on.
Yes, sir. And I'm just struggling because I'm a young buck. You might be able to hear that in my voice. I'm a young buck. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling to justify putting up with this nonsense when there's very little chance that this is going to impact me in a way that is negative. I only have one grandparent left, and I don't even see him. He's down in St. Louis. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's astonishing that they're treating, and they even said that they're trying to get kids vaccinated, not for the safety of the kids, so that the kids would not harm the adults, which is the complete flip-flop of our entire society. We are supposed to protect children, the elderly, and women in that order.
Yeah, very true.
And
where
they're trying to do stuff earlier
in the podcast. Where is this in our Constitution that government has any right to even weigh in on that? They don't. Absolutely not.
No, sir.
You know, all this stuff.
Do you know what the beauty of the Constitution is?
Hmm.
the beauty of the Constitution, that is a list of rules for the government not to violate the citizens' rights. That has nothing – the Constitution doesn't apply to the citizen. It applies to the government.
Yep,
so
that's what we
you don't violate these rights. That's the entire point of the Constitution, my friend.
It's the entire point. Josh, I got to tell you, I enjoyed talking to you. I got a little bit more to get to, so I'm going to run. Let me ask you, you said Illinois. How old are you, Josh?
31.
I was listening to talk radio commentary my whole life. Finally, one day I decided to jump in. Podcast is an easy way to do it. Maybe someday you'll do the same. And have you listened to the podcast before? Is this your first time listening?
No, sir. I used to run a podcast on Blog Talk Radio a while ago. I had 30,000 listeners a week.
Ah, gotcha.
Couldn't do it anymore. Yeah, people kept asking me favors. It's a hard life to live, my friend.
Yeah, hard life to live. You're right about that. Josh, thanks so much for calling, man. You can get more about the show at ChristopherScottShow.com. And I'd love to hear from you again. Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. I'll mute out.
Take care. Have a great day. So that was pretty cool. You know, this podcast started all differently than I thought. I had the regular intro. I botched that. I was going to get ready to – I had a bit that I was going to roll into to open and say, finally, real live radio, we're able to do it here. I had no idea we were going to get a caller in, so I wasn't prepared for that. Exciting stuff. Exciting stuff. I hope you're still listening. I hope you stuck with us. Botched the caller, botched the intro. A guy had to call back. Josh, thank you. It was really great. Great talking to you, and great to have you listening. Great to hear insight from 31 years old, you know, which isn't young, right? You know, when I was 31, by that time I started my second or third business. I think I had bought my second home. Crazy when you think of it now. You're like, ah, the kids. Yeah, kids at 31 years old. Hell, there was a time when that was halfway through your life. So I got a few more minutes left. I want to mention this, which this email really was what spurred me to come on today and talk. And this is from our brother Chris in Oregon. And he says, I would like to clarify my previous note to you. There was no need to do that, sir. He says, I can hear the frustration and disgust in your voice. He said, I agree what is going on right now is truly disgusting. He says, I think things are shifting, and I was just trying to point out a few positives. And let me just catch you up a second. Chris sent me an email the other day, and he was pointing out a shift. And part of that was the Southwest Airlines pilot said, look, people are standing up and speaking up about this. And I don't deny that. It's happening in Italy, right? Here locally, the Republicans are running a campaign for school board. There's signs all over the place. I mean, there's definitely cause for optimism. And my thing is, I'm at this point, I'm a little jaded, whatever you want to call it, cynical, that's the word. And I'm like, I just tell my wife, I believe it when I see it. She's like, they're going to win. I'm like, I believe it when I see it. But this is what Chris said. He says, the last thing I want is for you to throw your hands up and say, I'm out. We cannot lose you in this war. Guys, I'm not going anywhere. My struggle is how deep can I lie? Like, I'm not supposed to be doing this today. I can't stop myself. I got work to do. I took the yesterday and today, I got to get caught up on the homestead. In fact, Chris, I'm going to send you some photos later. Chris is out there living the life on the golf course. You know, he does a little mowing on like an air-conditioned zero-turn mower. He's listening to the podcast. I got to go out and actually lift logs and stuff, you know? I'm messing around. I'm sure Chris busts his butt out there. But in some ways I'm envious of that lifestyle too. But listen, here's what I wanted to say about Chris's emails. The first one, hey, here's the positive, now following up with this. And Chris, I didn't want you to feel guilty about it. I so appreciate you bringing it up for me and for the audience because I'm telling you, the mental gymnastics on this, I think, is what everybody's going through. You know, should I just sit back? You know what? Let's wait and see what happens. I can't do that. I mean, I talked earlier this week. If you checked out the show notes from Monday, Tuesday, was it? Go look at the photograph I put. You see what drives me. I'm not giving up. But I realize that I can't take on everything. I can't do it myself. And you start to see I've been talking about this video and this corruption that I've exposed locally here, and we're not seeing what we want to be seeing. And so now I got to learn some lessons from a lot to it. And this question, you know, do we take a positive view or a negative view, I guess you could say. I don't really wake up and say, do I want to look at this positive thing? What's the reality of the situation? And it ain't good. It ain't good. But I do think that this country has a certain resiliency. And if we have faith that even a remnant of good Christians and a little bit of faith, what do they say, the size of a mustard seed, and we can turn this country around. We do need to be a light. And I think kind of to Chris's point, you know, we have to figure out a way to encourage the people around us to see that there's a better way than the path that we're currently on. But I say that well. But please know the frustration that I'm sharing with. See, part of what when Chris emailed me about that I always throw it off. See, I usually feel like I'm really well in tune with the audience. And that was like, ooh, am I not? You know, it's a weird connection that we have by this podcast. I'm using the word weird, unique, special. Pretty cool, actually. There's a communication that goes on that I don't know if you realize it, but I do realize it very much on this end. Like, I feel your pain. I do. I feel your enthusiasm. I can't put a finger on it. I can't explain it. Just one of those things. Speaking of can't explain things, one of the things I used to use for children's devotions was a magnet, right? You take a magnet and you see it pulling a piece of metal towards itself. You can't see it. You can't feel it. But it's very much there the same way. And I think there's other things that are like that we may not understand. But did you know that there's a problem with the Earth's magnetic poles? And I know it's shifting, and it's shifting quickly. There's a concern that it's going to flip. And that could have a ramifications on certain things. Maybe we'll get into that more someday. Maybe somebody knows more about it. I want to wrap up with this email from Chad and a couple of comments as well. He says, I can imagine a time in the near future when citizens will be physically muzzled with an electronically locked muzzle like an ankle monitor for speaking out against Biden. This administration or any of its mandates, quote, policies, I see a new police force whose only task is to enforce such a law appointed by the Biden-Harris administration to silence any disparaging comments. Oh, that's a crazy idea, right? There's people listening right now thinking, oh, Chad's off his rocker. Well, maybe you ought to go back and look at what was going on in Stalinist Russia and Europe. Severity of infraction will determine the time muzzled. I see made-in-China drones. They're practically muzzled there already. Everywhere, monitoring our speech. That's why they want all of us out of the woods and in the big cities, and speech monitors in every house, one collar around your neck. All jobs will be unionized through the government, kind of resembling the Soviet Union. No food because they unionized in the food production. And the same thing that happened in Russia. Stalinist Russia all over again. No power because they made every power plant go green, solar, and forced us to drive electric cars, crashing the power grid when everyone plugged their car in at the same time. I see us having to learn Mandarin after the next election. I see an email like this coming with a prison sentence. And you know what? Go read Gulag Archipelago, and you'll see the likelihood of this happening. He says, I see all white people rounded up, segregated, imprisoned, and forced into slavery. I fear the only way to change the direction of the country is through bloodshed. It sounds nuts, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound nuts from Chad? It's right here in the show notes. You can go, Chad, you sound like you've gone bloody nuts. You really do. You know, what could we say to all that? Look back at the history, and you'll see for yourself that this is very, very possible. Very, very possible. Listen, I'm out of time, and I got to run here. I want you guys to know, there's a lot to think about. I do think that there's a lot of good indications going on, and there's definitely time to jump in. And people wake up and put their foot down and say, no, we want our Constitution honored. But I think there's more to it than that. We'll be talking about it more, and I look forward to being back on Monday. Looks like we'll be back. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you there. Thanks for listening.